There's a story about an airplane that landed after the first leg of a very long flight. Most of the passengers would be continuing their journey on that very same plane, but the flight attendant explained that there was enough time for everyone to get off of the aircraft and to reboard in about an hour's time. So, everybody got off the plane except for one gentleman. The pilot was walking down the aisle as he was exiting himself, and he noticed the man as he walked by. Now, he could tell that the man was blind because he had a guide dog laying quietly underneath the seat right next to him. And so he said, "Sir, we're going to be here for almost an hour. Would you like to get off and stretch your legs?" And the blind man replied, "No, thanks, but my dog might appreciate going for a walk." So picture this. All the people in the gate area all the people in the gate area come to a complete standstill when they look up and they see their pilot walking off the plane with a guide dog, and he was even wearing glasses. Well, as the story goes, fear took control. And people scattered, and some even lined up at the air desk trying to change planes. Well, I think that fear is a normal response. It's part of every person's life. Perhaps more so in some people than others, but still, everyone has to deal with fear at some point. Now, there are many things that can cause fear to take control of us. Some fear is based on actual events. Some, like the idea of a blind pilot flying an airplane, is just a product of our imagination. And the combination of the two can be quite debilitating. In 1981, we heard about the first cases of AIDS in the United States. We knew nothing about the disease, and we believed that it could be spread through the air like a cold or the simple touch of a hand. Ignorance about where HIV originated and how it spread meant that one segment of our population was further hated and ostracized because of fear. Healthy people were considered carriers just by association, and they lived in the very real fear of personal and professional retaliation. In 2002, SARS appeared in China. Within months, it had spread to the entire world. People stopped shaking hands. That's when that started. People stopped shaking hands. We were afraid to lick an envelope for fear it was being intentionally spread through the mail. That's why envelopes now have that adhesive strip, so that you don't have to run the risk of picking up the infection. In 2009, it was H1N1. In 2014, the Ebola outbreak in Africa nearly kept a friend of mine from meeting his first grandchild for the very first time because it meant that he had to fly to Prague, and he was so afraid of catching Ebola on an airplane or in the airport that he wasn't going to see his very first grandson. You know, fear isn't limited to medical issues. In 2001, it was the attack on the World Trade Center. We watched in real time as the towers fell. And when it came to light that it was the result of an intentional terrorist attack, panic set in. It was the action of a group, a small group of religious fundamentalists. But once again, a whole segment of the world's population was considered guilty by association. I remember that was when I was approached for the first time by the Turkish Muslim Association in our community, who live in our neighborhood. They approached me because they were afraid of reprisals and they wanted to build bridges based on knowledge and friendship instead of ignorance and fear. And they wanted to let us know that they too were grieving over what had happened. More recently, there had been attacks on synagogues fueled by Christian fundamentalism. Fundamentalism and terrorism isn't restricted to foreigners. This is fueled by Christian fundamentalism that has gained a foothold in American politics. In the past 19 years alone, there have been 44 attacks on synagogues and Jewish communal organizations in the United States, here in Canada, and throughout the world. I remember when one of my Jewish friends in Ottawa asked his Facebook friends if they would consider joining him at his synagogue on the Sabbath so that they could experience themselves what it felt like to be afraid in worship. Instant and easy access to the media has only fueled our fears as we are deluged by reports of catastrophic events, both real and imagined. It was bad enough when we watched them on the 6 o'clock news or we heard them on the radio on our way to and from work. But now, virtually everyone carries a constant stream of events on their phone or their computer screen. We're constantly being deluged with these reports that create fear and anxiety and mistrust. Parents fear for the safety of their children with so many reports in the news of people who would want to harm them. We are afraid to leave our homes unlocked or to walk in the dark at night. With increasing expectations being placed on our society, with its materialistic push for success, we fear failure. So we scramble to meet tight schedules and duties and obligations. All the while, living in the fear that the world as we know it will end because of global warming or global war or the next global pandemic. And where there is fear, there is no peace. Fear brings with it anxiety, worry, apprehension, dread, restlessness, panic, and tension, none of which lead us to feel calm, peaceful, relaxed, let alone stress-free. I think that's why the words of Jesus in our scripture reading today are so very important to us, because he offers us words of peace. Every now and then, the lectionary presents me with a scripture that could inspire a whole month or even a whole year's worth of sermons. And this is true of John 14, 23 to 29. Those who love me will keep my word. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. Do not let your heart be troubled. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father. I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you will believe. It would be impossible to do justice to all of these verses in one sermon. So I decided to just focus on two that are interconnected and that spoke to me this week. The first is this: peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Those words have a rhythm like the rise and the fall of our breathing. I can imagine using these phrases like a mantra. Breathing in, peace I leave with you. Breathing out, my peace I give you. Even saying it over a few times, I can feel my body starting to relax and my mind finding a calm place of being. But why is that? What is it about these words that has the power to ease our fears? Most often, when we think about peace, we think about the end of war, the end of conflict, ending violence. Those are all good things. We have all prayed for peace in our world, peace in our community, and peace in our homes. But the peace that Jesus offers in this passage is more than the resolution of an event that causes fear or harm. He is speaking to a sense of wholeness, a sense of well-being. It's a sense of harmony with the people and the things around us. Contentment, fulfillment, a sense in this moment that we are in God's presence, and it is a presence that inspires peace and calm. What's more, this sense of wholeness, well-being, harmony, contentment, fulfillment, being in God's presence, peace and calm, these things can come even in the midst of hardship, struggle, and conflict. If we put the passage into context, we will realize that Jesus gave this promise of peace to his disciples on the night before he died. It was the night of his betrayal. He was about to be handed over to those who hated him. He would be arrested, abused, and crucified. And yet, in that very moment, he offers the disciples his promise of peace. And in that moment, he leads by example. In that moment, when everything around him seemed to be out of control, he handed control over to God. You hear it in his prayer when he says, "If you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." Jesus felt afraid, just like we feel afraid. He was afraid of what he had experienced. He was afraid of what would come, both the known and the unknown. But he approaches this fear in very specific ways. First, he prays. And in praying, he pours out all of his worries and fears before God. Next, he affirmed his faith in God. It is his trust in God that allows him to place control of his life into God's hands, saying, "Thy will be done." And then, in typical Jesus fashion, he offers peace to those who are gathered around him. He doesn't just sit there idly by waiting for God to answer his prayer, waiting for the worst to come. But in the face of his worries and fears, he continues to do good, to help others, and to be God's living presence in the world. At the risk of repeating myself, what you put energy into, you get energy back from. Jesus puts energy into peace. He puts energy into the very center of the storm by infusing it with peace. This peace is a gift of God, something we sense most keenly when we give over to God a certain amount of control of all of the things that we normally worry about. It's not that we surrender responsibility, but rather we recognize that there are limits to what we can affect or achieve on our own. And sensing those limits, we place ourselves, our loved ones, our fortunes, our future into God's hands. And God's response is to give us peace. A peace that allows us to lift our gaze from the troubles that surround us and to see those who surround us as gifts of God worthy of our love and our attention. This can feel so foreign to us, but it brings us to the second verse that stands out in this passage. We started with, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," and it's followed by, "I do not give to you as the world gives." I do not give to you as the world gives. And that's a good thing. Because we live in a world that teaches us to look out for number one, look out for ourselves. We live in a world that teaches us that there's not enough to go around, that teaches us that you have to earn anything that's really worthwhile. All you have to do is listen to the policies that are being developed and defended by our governments regarding foreign aid and refugees. The Bible is absolutely clear on this one. We are bound by our faith and by the Word of God to welcome and to care for foreigners and refugees who abide in our land. I was going to look up a reference and I decided there are way too many. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are bound by our faith and by the Word of God as written in the Bible to look after, to care for foreigners and refugees who abide in our Lent. But the world leaders who claim to be Christian in their campaign speeches, these are the very same world leaders that are saying, we need to look after our own first, as they develop stronger policies to keep foreigners and refugees away. That's the peace that the world gives. It is the illusion of security that is fed by the constant need to compete, to secure, to hoard, and to protect. And it is a peace that is led by fear. But Jesus says that the peace he gives is different from what the world gives. He gives freely. He gives with no expectation of return. Only the hope that in being transformed by this peace, we will find our calm and pass that on. This is the peace that the world needs. This is the peace that we need. It is the promise that no matter what happens, God will not abandon us, but is always working to lift us up and is always working through us for the good of our neighbors and for our world. This is the promise that God loves us more than anything and will hold on to us through all that may come our way. And this is God's intent, that we will not only experience peace, but that we will share peace. And in sharing God's peace, we will find our way to eternal joy. So pray. And in praying, unburden yourselves of your worries and your fears. Pray. And in praying, affirm your faith in God who loves you and will not abandon you. Pray. And in praying, listen for ways to reach out to others with words and actions that inspire peace. And if you still feel worried and upset, well then pray some more, and peace will come.